To look at your word this morning, in your precious name I pray, amen. Alright, well, we're there in Romans chapter number 5, and this week, this Sunday, every year, is an interesting Sunday for me, because I started out, when we first started Verity Baptist Church, and we came to this week, and you say, what do you mean by this week? I mean the Sunday before Halloween. And you know, this Thursday, our nation will be celebrating a holiday known as Halloween. And when we first started Verity Baptist Church, I preached a sermon on the Sunday before Halloween in regards to why the Bible teaches, not why I believe, but biblical reason from the Bible as to why Christians should not celebrate Halloween. And I thought, you know, I'm going to preach this once in my life and I'll never deal with it again. And a year later, the church had grown and there were many people in the church that were asking us about Halloween. And I thought, well, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and preach a sermon on it again. And then, you know, here we are again. And I was considering, I'm not going to deal with the subject of Halloween this week. And again, multiple people asked my wife, myself, about the subject of Halloween. And I guess it's something I'm going to have to do every year. It's good. It shows that the church is growing. But I want to preach to you and I want to talk to you about the subject of Halloween. Now, please understand what I'm saying, because some of you already turned me off, okay? Here's all I would ask. Listen to what the Bible has to say and look at it with an open mind. And I want you to understand a couple of things. First of all, keep your finger there in Romans 5, but go to Romans chapter 14, just real quickly. Romans chapter 14. I want you to understand this about me. Now, I'm not against people who do this, but I want you to know this about me. I am not one of these Christians who believes that we should not celebrate any holidays. There are those today that say, you know, we shouldn't celebrate Christmas because it's pagan. We shouldn't celebrate Easter because it's pagan. We shouldn't celebrate, you know, Valentine's because it's pagan. And I'm not against those people. I think everyone should make their own choice. And the Bible even teaches that. And I'll show you that in a second. I, however, am not of that persuasion. Are you there in Romans chapter 14? And I'll give you the reason why. Verse number 5. Romans chapter number 14 and verse number 5. The Bible says, one man esteemeth one day above another. Do you see that? So there's a guy who looks at one day and he esteems it above another day. Look what it says. Another esteemeth every day alike. Notice what it says. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Verse 6. He that regardeth the day, so the person that esteems one day above another, he that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. Now, what's interesting is, when it comes to this conversation about holidays, God actually tells us, and one of the few times in Scripture that God does this, God says, do whatever you'd like to do. He doesn't come out and tell you, you need to do this. He doesn't come out and say, you better not celebrate Christmas, Easter, Halloween, this and that, you know. He doesn't come out saying, you know, you need to do this. He says, look, if you want to esteem one day above another, then do so. If you don't want to, then do so. And he says, both are fine. But here's what he does say. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So you ought to do whatever you think is right. So sometimes, you know, sometimes I tell people, ask me, do you celebrate Christmas? And I'll say, yeah. And they'll say, so you're against those people that don't celebrate Christmas? I'm not against people who don't celebrate Christmas. Because everyone should be fully persuaded in his own mind. I mean, sometimes I'd like to not celebrate Christmas. You know what I mean? I mean, they're pretty expensive. But, you know, I want you to understand this. Some people like to look for paganism in every holiday. And here's the thing, I don't know a lot about it, I don't want to know a lot about it. I've got more things to be interested in, to be honest with you. But here's the thing, the Bible says, look at what it says again, verse 6. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. You see that? So someone says to me, well, do you know that the Christmas tree is that? Look, I don't know, I'm sure I could Google it or look it up on YouTube or find out the same way you did. But here's the thing, when I celebrate Christmas, I regard it unto the Lord. If you don't want to celebrate it, then don't. It doesn't bother me. I think every man should be fully persuaded. Now, I'm telling you this to explain to you, I am not in the position that we should celebrate. No, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses today, don't celebrate Christmas, don't celebrate birthdays, don't celebrate anything. Sure, it's good for their budgets, you know. I'm not of that persuasion. But if you are, if you say, I don't believe we ought to celebrate anything, I would say, praise the Lord, amen. Do what you think is right. Because in this situation, God says that every man ought to be fully persuaded in his own mind. So I want to make that clear. However, Halloween, I will tell you, I believe, is an exception. You say, why is it an exception? Here's why. Because it is not a modern holiday with pagan roots. It is a modern pagan holiday.
Right.
It's not like they took a pagan holiday and modernized it and now we've got Christmas. And some people may worship the Christmas tree. I'm just celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for our sins, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But that's not what Halloween is, and I'm going to prove that to you, and I'd like to show you that from the Bible. Let me give you another verse. Keep your finger there in Romans. We're coming right back to it. Go to Colossians chapter number 2. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter number 2, and look at verse number 16. Colossians chapter number 2. And this is what I would say to you. Don't walk out of every Baptist church saying, I'm not going to celebrate Halloween because Pastor Amanda said we should not celebrate. Wrong answer. And by the way, if that's your answer for anything, wrong answer. People ask you, your family asks you, well, why do you guys do this at your church? Or why do you believe this? Well, because Pastor said. That's the wrong answer. I'd rather you just keep your mouth closed than say, because the pastor said. Because the pastor didn't say anything. Thus saith the Lord God. God said. That's what ought to matter, is what the Bible says. And don't walk out of here saying, I'm not having something very good because the pastor's against Halloween. But at the same time, don't walk out of here thinking, well, I don't care what anybody says, including the Bible, I'm going to do what I think we should do. That's putting us back in the book of Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And every time a man does that which is right in his own eyes, he's always going to do that which is wrong. And you got to remember that. When the Bible specifically tells you, you ought to do this or you ought not do this, and you say, well, I'm just going to do what I want anyway, you're always making the wrong choice. You're always sinning. You're always doing wrong. So here's what I would say. Look at what the Bible says. Are you there? Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let me give you another example of you making your own decisions as to whether you want to celebrate your birthday or not. Colossians 2, 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day. Or we get our word holiday. Or of new moons or of Sabbath days. So God says, don't let anybody judge you in regards to holiday. Look, you want to celebrate Valentine's? Celebrate Valentine's. You don't want to celebrate Valentine's? Don't. You want to celebrate Christmas? Praise the Lord. You don't? Don't. You want Thanksgiving? Go for it. You don't? Don't. The Bible says every man ought to be fully persuaded in his own mind. So I want to make that clear. I'm not anti-holidays, but I am anti this holiday, and I want to show you why. Go back to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. You say, why is it a sin to celebrate Halloween? Why is it wrong to celebrate Halloween? It's wrong to celebrate Halloween because of the things that Halloween celebrates. It is wrong to celebrate Halloween because of the things that Halloween celebrates. Let me give you four things that Halloween celebrates that we as Christians should not be partaking in. Number one, Halloween celebrates death. Halloween celebrates death. Are you there in Romans chapter number 5? Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. That's a reference back to Adam. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Now notice this. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam and Eve sinned against God, and because of their sin, death came upon them, and death passed upon all men. Death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You got to understand this. There's so many verses we could look at just in this one passage here, but look at verse number 14, Romans 5:14. Nevertheless, death reigned. Notice, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. Look at verse number 17. For if by one man's offense, Adam, sin, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Here's what you got to understand. Death is a result of sin. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death is the result of our sin. You're there in Romans chapter 5. Look at Romans 6:23. One on verse. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word wages means payment. It's what you earn. I go to work, I receive wages. I go to work, I get paid. If I go work at McDonald's, they're probably going to pay me minimum wage. It's what I earn. What we earn because of our sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. Death is a result of sin. So death is not something to be celebrated. Death is not a good thing. It's not good that we die. God never intended for us to die. Death is a negative thing. And to celebrate death is to celebrate sin. Keep your finger there in Romans. Go to Proverbs. Just real quickly. Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8. If you open up your Bible in the Old Testament, or you open up your Bible just right in the center, you're more than likely following the book of Psalms. Right to the right of the book of Psalms, you got the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8. Look at verse number 35. Proverbs 8:35. In Proverbs chapter 8, you find wisdom being personified. What that means is wisdom is given characteristics of a person. It's acting as a person. God is trying to teach us about wisdom. And notice what God says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35. Wisdom says this. Now we understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So to get wisdom, you must get the fear of the Lord. The Bible says, "For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." Verse 36. "But he that sinneth against me," talking about wisdom, "he that sinneth against me, wrongeth his own soul." Look what it says. "All they that hate me." Who's talking? Wisdom. You want to hate wisdom? He says, "All they that hate me love death." Do you see that? So to love death is to hate wisdom. And the beginning of wisdom, it comes through the fear of the Lord. So you got to understand this. Death is a result of sin. Death is not a good thing to celebrate, but Halloween is all about celebrating death. And you got to understand this. Halloween has been celebrating death from its inception. From the moment Halloween began to today, it is a holiday celebrating death. Right. Let me read for you from an article found on the website www.ab611.org about the history of Halloween. And I'm going to read for you from a few articles. But let me read this for you just so you get a little history about Halloween. Halloween began over 2,000 years ago. It's actually pre-Christ among the Celts and their pagan priests called the Druids. The Druids are, without question, I'm reading out of this article, the Druids are, without question, history's king of the occult. Witchcraft, Satanism, paganism, and virtually all facets of the occult acquire instruction from the Druids. From the popular jack-o'-lanterns, trick-or-treats, costumes, to the pranks, ghoulish ghosts, demons, goblins, and witches, Halloween owes its morbid birth to the Druids. The Druids believed during Samhain, which was the original name, later it got changed to All Hallows Eve, which turned into Halloween by the Roman Catholic Church, but the original name was Samhain. It says the Druids believed during Samhain, the mystic, now listen to this, this is what they believe, this is what they're celebrating, the mystic veil separating the dead from the living opened. The Druids taught that these roaming spirits on the Samhain night went searching for a body to possess. It's interesting that they understood that spirits possessed people even before Christ. The frightened Celts would masquerade as demons, evil spirits, and ghosts, hoping to convince the roaming evil spirits that they were another evil spirit and leave them alone. The Celts also prepared meals as treats to appease the evil spirits from tricks of malicious acts, hence our custom of trick-or-treats. The Druids performed horrifying human sacrifices and other vile rituals during Samhain, and let there be no doubt, Samhain was the original Halloween night. Now you gotta understand this, Halloween today celebrates, still celebrates spirits. I mean, what do you see, little kids, what do you see, you know, the little children are being encouraged to dress up? Go to the Halloween store, go to Walmart right now and look at the little costumes. What are they gonna be? Ghosts, ghouls, goblins, vampires, mummies. What does all that have in common? One thing, death. And it's a celebration of death. Look, wisdom said, all they that love me hate death. And if you love death, you don't love wisdom. If you don't love wisdom, you don't love God. You got to understand this. You say, I don't think it's that big of a deal. To celebrate death is to celebrate sin. And by the way, you got to understand this. It goes further than that. Go to John. John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. I don't know if you're saved this morning. I hope you're saved. I think most of you are saved. And many of you, I've had the privilege to lead to Christ. And those of you that I haven't, I've heard your testimonies. And I hope you're saved this morning. I hope you know if you die today that you're on your way to heaven. But if you are saved, you need to understand this. John chapter number 11, are you there? John chapter number 11, look at verse number 25. John chapter number 11 and verse 25. The Bible says, Jesus said unto her. Now notice what Jesus says. And by the way, just so you understand the context, Jesus is at a funeral. I mean, it's not really a funeral, but this man Lazarus died. And he's at the graveside of Lazarus. The context is that of death. And Jesus is getting ready to resurrect this man. John chapter number 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, notice what he says. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoso liveth, notice this is what Jesus said. And whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you see that? And I like how Jesus ends that verse. He looks at the woman. And he says, believest thou this? Because that's what it takes, is believe. You got to believe it. But here's the thing. The Bible says if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you are saved, the Bible says you'll never die. Now listen, your body may physically die, and one day God's going to resurrect it. We understand that. We'll actually look at that in a second. But your body may die. But let me tell you something. If you are saved, you will never experience death. You say, why? Because death, the Bible tells us, is hell. Death is the lake of fire. And I'll never see the lake of fire. I'll never see death. I'm going to heaven. And you say, well, that's kind of proud. You think you're on your way to heaven? It's not because of anything I ever did. It's not because of my good works or anything I've done. It's because Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, rose from the grave, gave me salvation. All I did was receive the gift. But listen, when I breathe my last breath on earth, I'll take my first breath in heaven. I'll never experience death. So is it right for a Christian that will never die to celebrate that? You know why this world loves to celebrate that? You know why you turn on your television and you watch more violent acts on your TV, in movies, and in children's shows, you watch more violent... You know why our society is just in love with the concept of death? Listen, you know, some of you parents ought to take those headphones off your teenager and just listen to some of the lyrics at some point. And I bet you'll find out that a lot of it has to do with death. You say, oh, that's just those uppity, you know, kids that listen to the rock music with all their death. You know, that's true. Rock music deals a lot with death. But you know what else deals a lot with death? Rap. You know what else deals with a lot of death? Anything that the world has to offer. You know why? Here's why the world celebrates death. Because they're going to die one day. That's why they celebrate death. You know why a Christian ought not celebrate death? Because if you're saved, you will never see death. Jesus Christ said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? Say, it's not a good thing. It's not the place of a Christian to celebrate death. You know why? Because you'll never die. Let the world, you know, they're going to die and go to hell. Let them celebrate. They're going to never see. They won't see life. They won't see Jesus Christ. Let them celebrate death. That's not for a Christian. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. You got to understand this. Jesus came to give us life and that we may have it more abundant. Jesus came to save us from death. 1 Corinthians 15, 55. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 55. The Bible says this. I'm sorry, look at verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. This is a reference to the resurrection, to the rapture. This is what's going to happen to your body. When you go to heaven, your body will be buried, but God says, I'm going to resurrect that too. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. This is from the book of Isaiah. He says, at the rapture, at the resurrection, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. See how death is always associated with sin? And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God, Jesus, gave us the victory over death. So if God has given me the victory, if He has conquered death for me, why would I celebrate that? Amen. Why would I as a Christian celebrate something that was brought by sin? It's not of Christ. It's not of God. Might as well read verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Say, why should we not celebrate Halloween as believers? Number one, because Halloween celebrates death. But number two, we should not celebrate Halloween. You say, that didn't really convince me, Pastor. You're going to have to do better than that. Okay, number two, Halloween celebrates darkness. Halloween celebrates darkness. In the Bible, you got to understand, in the Bible, darkness always represents sin. And light always represents God. Let me give you a little history. This is from the article. I want to get articles from different places just so you don't think that we're just looking at one area. This is taken from the website lasttrumpetministries.org. It says, the Druids were called Men of the Oaks and were a strange clan of men who dressed in white robes. Halloween was sacred to the Druids because their sun god, that's a lowercase g by the way, that's a false god, their sun god receded to the underworld on October 31st, which is why darkness, I want you to notice the emphasis on darkness, which is why darkness increased and light decreased. We understand that. We have daylight savings. The sun goes down earlier in the winter months. They believed it was because of their God. And they believed, okay, at this time of the year, darkness increased, light decreased, so let's celebrate that darkness. As darkness set, tell me, am I reading, you know, I'm going to read to you from 2,000 years ago in Ireland, but you know, ask yourself, does this sound like today? As darkness set on October 31st, the clan of Druids would put on their white robes and hoods. As the sun goes down on October 31st, this Thursday, guess what's going to happen? As the sun goes down and the dark comes out, everyone's going to get, you know, the Halloween celebrations don't start at noon. They wait till it's dark. Look what it says. As darkness set in on October 31st, the clan of Druids would put on their white robes and hoods. They would carry sickles and Celtic crosses as they began a torchlight procession. At the beginning of the procession, a male slave, listen to this, and I don't want to scare you, I'm just giving you some history here. At the beginning of the procession, a male slave was killed and dragged by a rope fastened to his left ankle. The Druids would walk until they came to a house or a village where they shouted the equivalent of trick-or-treat. The treat was a slave girl or any female to be given to the Druids. If the people refused to give a girl as a treat, blood was taken from the dead slave and used to draw a hexagram or a six-pointed star on the door of the wall of the village. The spirits of the horned hunter of the night was invoked by the Druids to kill someone in the house or village by fear that night. This was a holiday. This is what they did. And the emphasis is on this. By fear that night. They went out in darkness. They celebrated darkness. Let me ask you a question. What does God think about darkness? I don't know where you're at in your Bible. Go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Look at verse number 52. Now we understand the sun goes up and the sun comes down and it's nighttime. We get that. But darkness always represents something in the Bible. And you'll find it to be very consistent. I got a lot of references, but let's just try to look as many as we can. Luke chapter 22, look at verse 52. Luke 22, verse 52. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests, the captains of the temple, and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? This is when they were arresting Jesus to crucify him. He says, why are you coming out like if I'm some sort of a thief? Verse 53. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hand against me. Notice what Jesus says. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Do you see that? When Jesus, when they were getting ready to crucify him, he said, look, this is your hour. By the way, it was midnight. He said, this is your time. And the power of darkness. Go to John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. Look at verse 12. John chapter number 8. Now keep your finger in John or your bulletin or something because we're going to come back to John, okay? But look at John chapter number 8. Look at verse 12. John chapter number 8, verse 12. And then spake Jesus. John chapter number 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them saying, John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them saying, I am the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So if you're following Jesus, are you going to walk in darkness? Look, if you're not going to walk in darkness, why would you celebrate darkness? Go to John chapter number 12, look at verse 35. John chapter number 12, verse number 35. John 12, 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Go to John chapter 12, look at verse 46. Same chapter, verse 46. John chapter 12, verse 46. I am come a light into the world. That's what Jesus said. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So should we abide in darkness if we're in Jesus Christ? No, we should not. Go to Acts chapter 26. Acts, next verse. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter number 26. Next book, I should say. Acts chapter number 26, look at verse 18. Acts chapter number 26, verse number 18. Acts 26, verse 18. To open their eyes. This is what happened. This is what God commanded us to do. When we go out and preach the gospel, this is what we're doing to people. When we go out and preach the gospel and get people saved, this is what's happening to them. Acts 26, 18. By the way, this is what happened to you when you got saved. The Bible says to open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. He says, when you got saved, I brought you from darkness to light. And he equates that to from the power of Satan to God. And then you and I want to celebrate that same darkness? It's not of God. Go to Romans chapter 13, look at verse 12. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. Next book, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. Romans 13, 12. Romans 13, 12, the Bible says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You're there in Romans, you got 1 Corinthians, and you got 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, look at verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. For God... 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Look at verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Notice this. Why should you not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers? Why should you not marry an unbeliever? Why should you not be a friend with an unbeliever? I didn't say you could be friendly, but your closest friends ought not be unbelievers. Did you know that?
That's right.
I didn't say be rude, but your closest friends ought to be other people that are going the same direction you're going. Why? 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Go to Ephesians chapter 5. You're there in 2 Corinthians. You got the book of Galatians. Then you got Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at verse 8. Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at verse 8. Ephesians 5:8. This is what you were before salvation. For ye were sometimes darkness. God calls someone who's not a believer darkness. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of what? Light. Look at Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Go to Colossians chapter number 1. You're there in Ephesians. You got Philippians. Colossians. Colossians chapter number 1. Look at verse 13. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1, And look at verse number 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Bible says God delivered you from the power of darkness. Just flip a page. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, you got Thessalonians right next there. Now look, you should have a bulletin or something in John or a finger in John. Keep another finger in 1 Thessalonians because we're going to come right back to 1 Thessalonians. Okay, so keep your finger there in 1 Thessalonians. But right now look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5. The Bible says, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. I mean, can it be any more clear? We're not of darkness. We're not of the night. We are the children of light. We are the children of the day. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, just real quickly. Actually, you know what? Stay there in Thessalonians. Let me just read this through. Two verses. 1 Peter 2, 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 John 1, 5. This then is the message we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Now, if God is light and in Him is no darkness, should we be celebrating darkness? Are you there in 1 Thessalonians? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Say, Pastor Mendes, I get it. I mean, I hope you get it. If you still don't get it after, 20 verses, then you're not going to get it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You say, what's the big deal? What's the problem with darkness? 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, for they that sleep in the night. By the way, that's what you should be doing at night. It doesn't say for they that, are looking at Facebook, stay up all night. For them that are watching TV, stay up all night. It says for them that are sleep in the night. That's what you ought to do at night. That's, by the way, that's why God made the sun go down, so you could sleep. He didn't make the sun go down so you can go party and then sleep all day. And then not be able to keep down a job or something. For they that sleep in the night. But notice, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Go to John chapter 3. Did you keep your finger in John? John chapter 3, verse 19. You should already have your finger there. John chapter 3, 19. John 3, 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness. Why do men love darkness? Why do men want to? Why for thousands and thousands of years have people celebrated in different countries all throughout the world on October 31st, the end of October, beginning of November, they have a celebration about death. They may call it Halloween, they may call it Samhain, they may call it the Day of the Dead, they may call it whatever. But our world wants to celebrate death. It wants to celebrate darkness. Why? John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Jesus came into the world. And men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. You know why men love darkness? Because sin is done in the dark. You know that darkness emboldens sin? According to the Bible, people get drunk at night. Violent crimes. You know that most violent crimes are committed at night? You know that most rapes are committed at night? You know what? When a young lady loses that precious virginity that God gave her, usually it is done at night. You know when someone gets drunk, they get drunk at night. You know when someone commits adultery, it's usually done at night. You know when someone murders, it's usually done at night. Look, you know what Christians are going to do at night? At home, sleeping. So they can get up early the next day and read the Bible and commune with God and be with God. But you know what sinners do at night? They sin. You say, I think you're over-exaggerating. No, it's the truth. Darkness brings night. I remember when I was a kid growing up, my dad would always tell us, Christians have no business being out late at night. And it's true. Amen. I'm a grown man, I can do whatever you want. I'm just telling you this. You ought to be at home sleeping. Pastor Jimenez, I struggle with reading my Bible. I can't get up early to read my Bible. Maybe if you went to bed and quit watching filth on TV, maybe you could get up and read the Bible. It's a good thing when the light comes up to spend time with the light, Jesus Christ. Good. Darkness is always associated with sin. Think about it. That's why bad places are always dark. Are bars usually pretty well lit? You walk in, it's like,
good night.
Turn these lights off. Bars are dark. Casinos are dark. Nightclubs are dark. Just mark it down. You walk into a place and it's dark, it's not a good place. There are pizza places. And my wife and I, you know, we were driving down the road and we saw a pizza place. We said, we never ate there. Let's try that place. We pull up, we look through the windows and it was dark. We said, that's not for us. Let's not go there. You say, Pastor, you're over exaggerated. I mean, good night. No, you know, I don't want to get accustomed to just being in dark places. And by the way, I don't want my kids to get accustomed to being in dark places. I want my kids, when they walk into a dark place, to just be like, there's something wrong with this. You know why? Because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Darkness represents sin. We should feel awkward. We should feel wrong. And we should teach our children to feel awkward. And we should feel our children to think it's wrong. They should ought to be uncomfortable in a dark place. But what are you doing in Halloween? You're telling your children, hey, let's celebrate death. Hey, let's wait till the sun comes down. And then we'll go out and celebrate darkness. Not a prize. It's not for believers. Still not convinced, Pastor. Okay, number three. We said number one, Halloween celebrates that. So number two, Halloween celebrates darkness. Number three, Halloween celebrates fear. Halloween celebrates fear. Let me give you a little more history. This was taken from, and I don't agree with these people, I just got their history from them, taken from a website called rabbiscott.com. And again, I'm not pro their religion, I'm just looking at their history here. It says, the fall harvest was complete and winter loomed ahead. The Celts believed the power of the sun was fading. For the next several months, darkness, notice the emphasis on darkness, would prevail. The Celts believed that during Samhain, the veil separating the living from the dead was at its thinnest. They believed that on the evening of October 31st, evil spirits and the souls of the dead passed through the barriers and entered into the world of the living. Departing family members would revisit their earthly homes. The thought was frightening. Now notice, I like how they wrote this. The thought was frightening and exciting. Isn't that like the push with these horror movies? Oh, it's so scared, but it's so exciting. I get this rush. Let's go to the horror house. Oh, but it's so scary. Yeah, but you get this adrenaline rush. It says the thought was frightening yet and exciting. The Celts believed these spirits and dead souls could torment the living. Crops might be destroyed. Babies stolen. Farm animals killed. But this was also an opportunity to commune with the spirits and divine the future. I'll get to this later, but just understand this. Halloween and the occult goes hand in hand with dividing the... Your little palm reader, you like to... Oh, I'm going to call the palm reader and they're going to tell me if I'm going to win the lotto. Just give me your money. I'll tell you if you're going to win the lotto. No. You're not. Let me tell you something. The lotto is a tax. Did you know that? It's a tax on people that can't do math.
That's right.
Because you're not going to win. You're more likely to become the president of the United States and I'm not voting for you. So, I'm going to call the palm reader. They're going to tell me if I'm going to win the lotto. You know who plays the lottery? Poor people. You know why they are poor? Because they play the lottery. You know what rich people don't do? Play the lottery. What do rich people do? They go to bed at night. They wake up early. They work all day. They make money. That's what they do. You know what poor people do? Stay up all night. Sleep all day. Play the lottery. I'm just trying to tell you. That's the truth.
Right.
If you listen to me, you'd be more successful in life. There is this... It's hand in hand. I'm going to read my little horoscope and it's going to tell me about my future. That's the occult. That is wicked. That is witchcraft. Got to get right with God. Babies stolen, farm animals killed, but this was also an opportunity to commune with the spirits and divine the future. The Celtic people who believed over 2,000 years ago feared the evening of October 31st more than any other day of the year. This is what the AV 611 website said. The frightened Celts would masquerade as demons, evil spirits, and ghosts, hoping to convince the roaming evil spirits they were another evil spirit and leave them alone. Here's what the Last Trumpet Ministry said. When the Druids put a curse on a household on October 31st, they called upon evil spirits to kill someone in the house or village by fear. That night. Halloween has always been about this. Fear. Isn't it scary? Let's put on a scary costume. Let's go scare someone. Let's go watch a scary movie. Let's go into a haunted house. Go to Psalm 66. Let me show you something interesting about fear in the Bible. Psalm 66. See, you got to understand this.
Everything in your life belongs to God.
Amen.
I don't know if you know that, but the faster you realize that, the faster that you can begin to have God's blessing on your life. Those children that God gave you, those are not your children for you to do as you will. Those are God's children that He gave you for a time. They belong to God. Your income belongs to God. Your family belongs to God. Your house belongs to God. Everything about your life belongs to God. And you know what else belongs to God? Your fear. So what are you talking about? Go to Psalm 66, look at verse 16. Psalm 66, verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. Go to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Look at verse 10. Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111 and verse number 10. Psalm 111 and verse 10, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Go to Proverbs, next book over. Proverbs 1, look at verse 7. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. Proverbs 1, 7. By the way, the verse that we just looked at said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want wisdom? Fear the Lord. Proverbs 1, 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You want knowledge? Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Go to Proverbs 2. Look at verse 5. Proverbs 2, verse 5. Proverbs 2, 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You look up the word fear. Every time it comes up in the Bible, you'll find the word fear is used multiple times throughout Scripture. And most of the time, it's in regards to fearing the Lord. And it's a very positive thing to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now listen to me. Today, modern Bible teachers will say, the word fear there actually just means respect or reverence. Now here's the thing. There is a truth to that. I'm not denying that. To fear God is to respect and reverence Him. But do you know that the Bible uses the word respect? And you know that the Bible uses the word reverence? And yet God chose to not use the word respect or reverence in those verses, but He used the word fear. You know why I think He used the word fear? Because He meant to use the word fear. Amen. The fear means to respect. Look, you ought to respect and you ought to reverence, but the Bible, I believe the Bible is teaching you ought to just be afraid of God.
That's good.
When I was growing up, I was respectful of my mom and dad. But you know what? I was also scared of my mom and dad. You know why? Because they had a belt. And they knew how to use it. I want my kids to respect me, but I also want my kids to fear me. I don't think that's good parenting. That's why your kids are rebellious.
That's good.
That's why you can't get your kids under control. That's why my boys are sitting in church right now. And you say, how do you get them to church? You get a belt. That's what you do. Put the fear of God in them. That's what you do. I'm going to say my kids are perfect. You're going to walk out of here. Pastor thinks his kids are perfect. Pastor doesn't think anyone's perfect. Pastor's been at your house too. Anyway, I'm getting on a rabbit trail. Fear. Let's get back to Halloween. Fear means to be afraid. That's what it means. And God wants you to fear Him. And by the way, if we got the fear of God back in our lives, we get our lives straightened up. You know why you look at things in the Bible, you say, yeah, well, I know the Bible says that, but I think I'm just going to do this. It's because you don't have a fear of God in your life. And by the way, that's why you have no wisdom and no knowledge.
Amen.
You know why your life's all messed up? You got no fear of God. Well, I know what the Bible says about marriage, but I'm just going to try it my way. Foolishness.
Amen.
The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of God is the beginning of life. So here's the thing. You find the word fear all throughout the Bible. Most of the time, you'll find it in reference to fearing God. And it's a positive thing to fear God. It's a positive thing to be afraid of God. But you know this? Every other time you find the word fear in the Bible, and it's not a reference to God, you know it's always a very negative thing. Let me give you a couple examples. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, 7. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of what?
Fear.
So He did not give us that spirit. For God had not given us a spirit of fear. Here's the spirit He did give us. But of power, and of love, and of a... And I think this is just great. Sound mind. You know what most people are?
Pastor, I'm so fearful. I've got all this anxiety.
Look, that's a spirit of fear. And that did not come from God. Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 28. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. Philippians 1:28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Bible says you ought to be terrified of nothing. Say, I'm scared of the terrorist. That's not of God. Now look, we ought to be smart. I get that. But the Bible says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. To be scared, to be terrified, is an evident token of perdition. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what's the sign of... You know what I want, people? I heard this. I got a... Good night. What time is it? Okay, I got time. I'll tell you the story. I was talking to this pastor. I've told this story before, I think. It's just recent, 6 months ago. I was talking to this pastor. He said he was telling me about his pastor friend who just died recently. And he said he was trying to get up to see him. He lived somewhere in Nevada. And he just didn't work out. He wasn't able to make it. He was on his way, but the man died before he got there. But he said he was on the phone with his wife. And he's a pastor friend. He's calling the wife to comfort the wife. He says, "How are you doing?" She says, "I'm doing good." She says, "How's brother so-and-so?" This is what his wife said. This man's dying, cancer, dying, on his deathbed. Here's what she said. The wife said this. "He's teaching us how to die." Say, what does that mean? That means on his deathbed, they weren't ministering to him, he was ministering to them. As the man was dying, he was telling them. He was reading to them Psalm 23. He was praying with them. The man had no fear of death. You know why? Because he was saved. Believers don't die. The Bible, you think it was, "I'm afraid to die, I'm afraid to die." Hey, that could be an evident token of perdition. I hope that's how I die. I hope when I'm dying, I'm ministering to my family. I'm giving my family last words of encouragement. But fear, when it's not placed in God, is not of God. Last night I had to come to the church building and take care of something. It was about 10:30. You know, it's 10:30 on Northgate Boulevard by myself. And I'm like, making all this noise. Walking real tall. You know, but I thought about Psalm 23:4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." See, fear is not of God. Now, to fear God is a positive thing, but to fear anything else is not of God. Because God is with us. But you know what? Today, people want to give the fear that rightfully belongs to God, and they want to give it to a horror movie. "I'm going to watch this movie." "Why? It's so scary." "Yeah, but it's exciting." "I'm going to go to this haunted house." "Why? It's scary, but it's exciting. I get this adrenaline rush." "I'm going to dress up in a scary costume. I'm going to scare my friend." Why? Wait, look, it's not good to be fearful. It's not good to watch things that bring fear. Our fear, just remember this, everything in your life belongs to God. Your fear belongs to God. You want to be afraid of something? Get on your knees and ask God to forgive you for your sin and fear that God is going to bring punishment. Our fear belongs to God. And to fear anything else is not of God. So celebration of fear is not of God. Number four, this is the last point. We said number one, Halloween celebrates death. We said number two, Halloween celebrates darkness. We said number three, Halloween celebrates fear. Say, I'm still not sold, Pastor. I'm still going to, the Halloween store and picking up my costume after the service. Okay, number four, Halloween celebrates the occult. Say, what is the occult? The occult, let me just give you the definition, of or pertaining to magic, astrology, that's your horoscopes, or any system claiming use or knowledge of secret or supernatural powers or agencies. of relating to or dealing with supernatural influences, agencies, or phenomena. Halloween has always been and will always be a celebration of the cult. Let me read a quote for you. While Halloween masquerade, or let me, I got a couple of quotes. Let me read this one first. After one's own birthday, this is a quote. After one's own birthday, the two major satanic holidays are Walter Jensnack and Halloween. That was a quote from Antoine LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan and author of the Satanic Bible. He said that the two most major holidays for a Satanist are Whopper Jensnack, or whatever that is, and Halloween. Halloween has and always will be a celebration of the occult, of Satanism, of witchcraft. Let me give you this other quote. While Halloween masquerades as childish fun and frolic, it's serious business in the occult world. Witchcraft, Wicca, Satanism, and paganism believe on the night of Halloween, devils and spirits are unleashed. They perform their most hideous and potent rituals on the night of Halloween. Go to Exodus 22. Exodus. You got Genesis, Exodus. Now, here's the thing. Today, people believe. Here's what people think. Witchcraft, fortune telling, it's all fake. It's fun and games. It's Halloween night. Get out the Ouija board. Let's have fun. It's Halloween. It's just fake. It's just Harry Potter. Pastor, haven't you ever read Harry Potter? No, I haven't. It's just fun. It's not a big deal. Let's see what God thinks about that. Exodus 22. Look at verse 18. Pastor, man, don't you know witches aren't real? Exodus 22. Look at verse 18. Exodus 22, verse 18. This is what the Bible says. This is God giving His law to His people. And when God gave His law, here's what He said. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. The word suffer means allow. He says, thou shalt not allow a witch to live. Here's what God put the death penalty on witchcraft. And you want, if Harry Potter lived in the kingdom of God, he would have been put to death. He would have been stoned. Witches aren't real. Well, God seems to think they're real because He says when you find a witch, make sure you kill her. Make sure you kill them. That's what God said. I'm not advocating we do that. We don't live in Old Testament Israel. I'm just telling you, in God's society, God put the death penalty on witchcraft. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Now, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We're almost done. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 18. Look at verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter number 18, verse 10. Deuteronomy 18, 10. Deuteronomy 18, 10. Deuteronomy 18, 10. The Bible says, there shall not be found among you any that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. Okay, so here we're talking about human sacrifice, which is what the Druids did, which is what all these Satanists believe in. Notice what's connected with human sacrifice. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh a son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination. That's talking about magic. Anyone that uses magic, the wizard, the warlock, the witch. Pastor, don't you know Harry Potter did white magic? It's white, so it's okay. It doesn't tell me here whether it's white or black. It's just a divination. Or that uses divination. Because you know what? And I don't have time to go through this, and we kind of already dealt a lot with this in the spiritual warfare series, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. But the Bible says that people who do magic, people who do divination, the Bible says they're real. And you know how they do it? They're demon-possessed. Right. That's what the Bible says. It says, make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or use his divination, or an observer of times. Let's read our horoscope. Okay. And an enchanter or a witch. God says, don't have these people around you. 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17. We're almost done, I promise. We're going to look at 2 Kings, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians, we're going to look at Isaiah, and we'll be done. Okay? 2 Kings chapter 17, look at verse 17. 2 Kings 17, 17, are you there? 2 Kings 17, verse 17, this is why we're not done yet, you're slowing me down. 2 Kings 17, verse 17, the Bible says, and they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, human sacrifice, and use divination and enchantments, talking about magic, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, and to provoke Him to anger. Ouija board. It's celebrating Satan. And it's not of God. And it's not for Christians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I don't want to spend a lot of time with this. I am done with the Satan and demons and all that. We dealt with it a lot with spiritual warfare. I was asked to deal with it in the film for the King James Bible. And this is the last thing I'm going to say about it and for a long time, okay? I think. Unless God leads us another way. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 19. What say I then? That the idol is anything. Now look, we know that the idol is nothing. You have a little Buddha they put food in front of. That thing can't say, it cannot hear, it cannot see, it cannot move. It is not a god. Well, let me rephrase that. It is not God. What say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? Verse 20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice the devil. So he says, look, the idol is not anything, but the devil they're worshiping is something. They sacrifice the devils and not the God. And I would not, you got to remember this when you get ready to go out on Halloween, October 31st. I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and the table of devils. I'm just trying to explain to you that Halloween is not a holiday for believers. Go to Isaiah 28. We're done right here. Isaiah 28. Now I need you to realize this. Isaiah 28 in the Old Testament. Here's what you need to realize about Halloween. Here's what you need to hear about what I'm saying about Halloween. I am not saying that you should not celebrate it because it's a modern holiday with pagan roots. That's what people say about Christmas, Easter, whatever. Look, when I celebrate Easter, I celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When I celebrate Christmas, I'm celebrating the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, you say it's got pagan roots. Look, every man be persuaded in his own mind. Can you not celebrate Christmas and you and I still be friends? But here's the thing. I'm not saying you ought not celebrate Halloween because it's got pagan roots. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you ought not celebrate Halloween because today it is a pagan holiday. It's not like, you know, this is what people say about Christmas. Well, back then they were worshiping the tree, but today they're worshiping Jesus. Well, I don't know what they were doing back then, but today I'm worshiping Jesus. But you know what the Druids were doing back then? Same thing that Halloween is doing today. Worshiping darkness, worshiping death, worshiping Satan, worshiping the occult. It's the same thing. It's not a modern holiday with pagan roots. It's a pagan holiday. And it's not of believers. Are you there in Isaiah 28? Look at verse 15. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell. A covenant is fellowship. A covenant is a contract. I don't want to make a covenant with death and hell. Are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Let me ask you a question. Thursday, October 31st, who will you be fellowshipping with? Now, if you go celebrate Halloween, I'm telling you right now, you will not be celebrating with God. Because God does not celebrate death, darkness, sin, the occult. If you go celebrate Halloween, you're going to be celebrating sin. The problem with Halloween is it celebrates sin. Now, you may ask, well, Pastor Jimenez, what do I do? Well, I don't know, but, you know, just out of mere coincidence, I mean, it's not like we planned this out or anything, but, you know, it just so happens that on Thursday, October 31st, we're having a harvest party. It's weird how it kind of worked out that way. And you don't have to go celebrate Halloween. You can come here. It'll be well lit. We'll have the Bible. We'll have games. We'll have prizes. We'll have chili. Look, I'm not telling you, oh, you know, I got to go tell my kids, we're Christian now, so there's no, we can't have any fun. I'm just saying, we can have fun without sin. You know, come fellowship with believers on October 31st. We'll be here. Say, you know, let every man be fully persuaded of his own mind. You do whatever you want. But you ought to take what we talked about this morning and look at it in Scripture, and you ought to make your own decision. What am I celebrating when I celebrate Halloween? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for our church. Lord, I pray you'd use the message in the hearts of our people. for some it may just be review, and for others it may be negative. But whatever it was, it's the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to live in the fear of the Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you for allowing us to serve you. And help us to realize that everything in our lives belongs to you. In your precious and holy name I pray. Amen.